Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today in Houston. All right, the great Johnny Cochran taught us many lessons. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
A smart attorney can reduce a mountain of evidence to a pile of rubble. It's a mistake to rush to judgment. All right, this weekend, we all pretty much concluded the Seattle Seahawks fleeced the Houston Texans in the Jadeveon Clowney trade. Clowney is a three-time Pro Bowler. He's a 26-year-old edge rusher. Headed into his prime years, the Seahawks landed Clowney for a third-round draft pick and two marginal players. On top of that, the Texans agreed to pay $7 million of Clowney's $15 million in salary this year. This has to be the most one-sided trade in the history of the NFL. I mean, this is worse than the deal the Pittsburgh Steelers accepted for Antonio Brown. I referenced Brown for a reason. The Steelers let the Raiders have Brown for next to nothing because Brown is a world-class headache who makes it very difficult to create a winning culture. Everyone can see it now after Brown's training camp helmet hoax, hot air balloon, and frostbitten feet. Might Clowney be a different kind of Antonio Brown? When you have Clowney's physical gifts and a team gives you away, that says just as much about Clowney as it does Texans head coach Bill O'Brien. O'Brien is being ridiculed for making the Clowney trade. In the aftermath of owner Robert McNair's death, the Texans organization is a bit chaotic. Houston doesn't have a general manager. O'Brien has capitalized on the power vacuum and is calling the shots. He might be out over his skis. He also might have just unloaded one of the NFL's biggest underachievers. Anybody heard any Texans players chirping about Clowney going to Seattle? You think had Houston unloaded J.J. Watt or DeAndre Hopkins or Deshaun Watson for nothing, we wouldn't have heard major grumblings from the Texans locker room? Clowney has a soft motor. His engine doesn't always start. That's why he's never had a double-digit sack season despite playing opposite J.J. Watt. That's why he had three sacks in his final season at South Carolina. The game has always come far too easy for Clowney. He's in a discussion for the most physically gifted football player of all time. But too much talent is a curse. Talent is the enemy of adversity, and adversity is the iron that sharpens iron. Michael Jordan believes he got cut from his high school basketball team. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. J.J. Watt walked on at Wisconsin. There's never been a day that Clowney wasn't coveted and pampered. My gut says the Texans improved this weekend. The price for trading for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills was a bit steep, two first-round picks, but no one can argue Tunsil and Stills won't help immediately. Deshaun Watson took a beating last season behind a weak offensive line. Tunsil at left tackle will be a huge upgrade. Stills will be a solid complement to Hopkins at receiver. Bill O'Brien is playing his bust hand. He's in win-now mode because that's his only option for survival. Let's don't rush to judgment. It just might work. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzada. Marcellus,
yes.
You have a problem with Bill O'Brien dumping Jadeveon Clowney.
I don't. You have to keep it in totality, even though we're going to isolate the variable and talk about just Jadeveon Clowney. But his measurables can be replaced. Whatever you think of him, 9.5 sacks, never a double-digit season as you spoke of, you can replace those measurables because, one, his contract will be up at the end of the year. We're talking about a guy who's owed $15 million this year, and it's going to be $18, $20 million north going forward for a franchise pass rusher. Is that necessary for this Texans team to get over the hump? Remember, in the playoffs last year, Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, neutralized by who? Probably the best offensive line we know in the game in the Indianapolis Colts. And if you start to summarize what that looked like last year, do we need help on offensive line? Yes. Do we need help at the receiver position? DeAndre Hopkins hurt in that same game. We can't get over the hump. We lose by two possessions. Yes. We have a lot of needs outside of just a redundancy of pass rush. This is a team that was 11th ranked last year, getting after the quarterback, but dead last in terms of hits on their own quarterback. So I just think that the equation changed where, are we really going to pay Jadeveon Clowney $20 million? No. So if we're not, why are we going to hold on to this instead of trying to get maximized value? So that's what they did. I love the move in the sense of this is a forward-thinking move that may even show dividends presently.
Do I have a problem with it? Yes and no. And I'm going to explain this.
Please do.
When you lose a free agent like Jadeveon Clowney, if say they don't franchise him, you're going to get a compensatory third-round pick anyway. You're going to get that anyway. So you trade him to Seattle for a third-round pick that you're going to get anyway if you don't even franchise him, and you pay $7 million of his salary? That makes no sense. If you didn't want him, just let him go. So you're basically paying $7 million for Barkevious Mingo and Jacob Martin that you got in the deal who probably were going to be released anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't want Jadeveon Clowney, all you had to do was rescind his franchise tender before July 15th, I believe it was, and you're going to get a third-round pick anyway. So now you receive a third-round pick, and you pay $7 million of his salary. That makes no sense. So do I have a problem with it? No, they do need help offensively. But business-wise, it was a bad move. I don't know what they were thinking. Bill O'Brien knew he didn't want him. Just rescind the tender, and you're going to get a compensatory pick anyway.
Brennan Scarlett, do y'all know who that is?
No.
He's on the depth chart behind Jadeveon Clowney. You know how many sacks he produced for this team last year?
Donuts.
Yeah, yeah. Close to what we got in our game on Friday. I can relate, all right? Let's see. Whitney Mercilus, do we know who he is?
Yes.
He played on the game. He played on the team.
Fighting the line.
He put up an amazing four for the Houston Texans.
He's not bad, though.
No, he's nice.
He's not
He
bad.
Put up an amazing four. He's nice. He's not bad. He put up a staggering four sacks, Whit. Yep. Okay. Jadeveon Clowney last season, 9 sacks. All right. Now, you had a guy by the name of Covington that isn't there anymore. He put up 3.5 sacks. If you put all three of those guys together, you have 7.5 sacks, right? 9 sacks, one player. J.J. Watt has 16 sacks. This is, to me, the answer is, I don't have a problem with him trying to build the team the way he wants to build the team. That's his prerogative. The idea of we improved our team and you're basing it off of something that had nothing to do with Jadeveon Clowney. You brought in a receiver that caused issues. We're talking about Jadeveon being Antonio Brown in this situation. Kenny Stills could be the Antonio Brown in this situation going to the Texans. And you bring in a lineman that's great. You improve your line.
You got a quarterback that needs protection.
All right, that quarterback better be able to put up points, because when you lose that type of production from a player and you do not replace it, which is the point I was getting at, 7 sacks, J.J. Watt is going to feel the effects of this. That secondary is going to feel the effects of this. That defense is going to feel the effects of this.
Answer my question on this.
Go ahead.
Seriously. When somebody gives away something that allegedly has that kind of value, don't you for a second go, damn, I wonder, maybe it's not as valuable as we thought. Don't you when you see somebody break up with the hottest girl in school, don't you, I wonder.
Where I will agree with you, I had a CL 500 when I got drafted.
That's my dog.
It was kind of the same color. It's like Almadine color.
What, dark?
Beautiful. Peanut butter.
You talking about this?
Dang,
it's just black?
Yeah, I can take it. I was talking about the suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it always had to go into the shop. Always. Always. But I liked the car so much that I kept dealing with it.
That's
when
your
I got
mistake.
When I well I oh, hold on hold on when I got to the point where I realized that this car was basically like a lemon, I got rid of it. But when I got rid of it, I replaced it. I didn't just get rid of it and just didn't have a car. I got rid of the car and I replaced it. That is the problem that I have here. It's not that you got rid of the car that you didn't feel was running the
you
way that you wanted it to run.
You getting for a third round pick and you would have got that. You would have received.
You did not replace the production
no
that
from
you've
a business
lost
standpoint.
By getting rid of it. That's the biggest issue.
I won't torture your example, but one, if you add up the contracts, based on what you're replacing it with, is going to be a lesser number you're paying as a franchise than the one that you anticipate, which is at $15 million now. Going forward, is going to be
$18 million. But you're paying $7 million of that.
No, I understand that. But you still, if you add up all his backup players, it still won't add up to one Jadeveon Clowney. Here's the biggest issue, I think.
Pro bowler.
Three-time pro bowler. Respect. Here's the biggest issue.
Allegedly.
But the Pro Bowl is watered down now, but go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But here's the biggest issue. You said J.J. Watt's going to feel the effect of no Jadeveon Clowney.
Sure.
Here's what they're summarizing. Why didn't Jadeveon Clowney feel the positive effects of a J.J. Watt? And trust me, you've been here and I've been here. When there was a Bruce Smith on the other side, when there was a Daryl Talley, Cornelius Bennett, whoever you want to name, when it was some legit dudes on a Bryce Pop, when it was on, when they were on
Bryce
that side,
Pop.
Whoa, hand technician.
Yes.
When they were over there, guess what? I was like,
One-on-one.
No one cares about me.
There's
over
a back.
Here. And right. Jadeveon Clowney didn't maximize that. So if you're upstairs, you have to look at that as a war.
I will not disagree with that.
There we
That's
go.
A great point. And I don't think you could have tortured that example, because I thought it was a fine and well thought out example to begin with. But with that being said, you still have not replaced the production. And that's the
And
issue.
You also have just now given opportunities. Look, when Bruce got cut, they were like, we ain't replaced the production.
How much time do you
but
have?
But all of a sudden, you give me an opportunity, there's 10.5 sacks for you right there.
Put in his wit log that this could be him playing a bust hand. So what we're saying is that this could be a season in which if he does not achieve at a certain level, he could possibly lose his job.
There's no question about
okay.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
He will.
You got to replace that production, whether you
they
like
him
or not.
They must think they have a replacement.
You
in
got opportunity.
Who's going to replace it?
But TJ, how did you get in
Come
the
on,
game?
Man. You
opportunity.
Come on.
And who got hurt?
Peter Ward.
So you sitting there, and Peter Ward goes down, you're going to throw the season away, or you're going to say, it's his turn? And you got to let that play out.
I love P-Dub.
And again, I know these moves may not have been connected. But to me, what Bill O'Brien is saying here is like, we're going to put our eggs in Deshaun Watson's basket.
Right.
We have been putting our eggs in J.J. Watt and the defensive side of the ball. We're now going to flip the script and go to this other side of the ball. What we don't want to do is end up in an Andrew Luck type situation with Deshaun Watson, where we never provided him the right offensive line. We never provided him the protection. They had this kid had to take a bus to a game because his shoulder and body was so banged up, he couldn't fly. And so to me, when I look back, and again, I agree with TJ, I'm not sure if this was handled properly, the trade. Bill O'Brien might be out over his skis as a general manager. But I just look at Clowney and go, man, there must be a problem here.
It must
if they're
be.
Giving him away like this. And then I like the move of like, hey, man, let's ride Deshaun Watson. Let's give him another receiver to go along with Hopkins and William Fuller. And let's try to provide him some pass protection. We don't want this guy beaten up the way Andrew Luck was. That's not a bad play, because to me, to Marcellus's point, if you this kind of talented freak playing opposite J.J. Watt, and the best you can do is 9.5 sacks.
You know what's crazy about that? Seattle basically got him for free. Because if Seattle doesn't re-sign him, I'm sitting here thinking, guess what they get? They're going to receive a third-round compensatory pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Seattle will get now if they don't re-sign him. So they're basically paying $9 million. Hopefully he can give them production.
I don't have a problem with the reasoning. I have a problem with replacing the production. And again, if you're looking at your defense, I want my offense to have every opportunity to be successful. No problem there.
That will happen.
But if you do not, whether you guys respect the 9 sacks or not, the guy made a difference as a player on that defensive unit and on that defensive front. If you're not replacing, that is one of the most prime positions. That is high-end real estate to be a
But it's redundancy. That redundancy at the position versus what is going to be the best way to focus our efforts and our resources to get over this hump. Their hump wasn't the fact that they didn't have enough defensive production or pass rush. The fact is they couldn't protect their own passer. They lost by 2 possessions to a Colts team that had the best offensive line.
But you might have been closer having him on your defensive line. You may slide back a little bit not having him. And believe you me, that may not necessarily be based off of just a statistical stat line on the guy that they just
got
rid of. I would
agree. I'm not going with stats. I'm going with the fact they just gave up one of the most talented players to ever hit the NFL. To me, they just sold Seattle a lemon. And look, Seattle won't complain about buying that lemon because they bought it cheap. But I think they bought a lemon.
Football season is coming up quick, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is celebrating with huge Week 1 contests. It all starts when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season with a Thursday night single-game showdown contest and $2.5 million in total prizes up for grabs. New users who sign up today on DraftKings using code SPEAK will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at a $1 million payday. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. But you don't have to wait until Week 1 to get in on the action. Right now, all users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Download the DraftKings app now to get in on the action. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. And as an extra special Week 1 bonus, new users can put in my code SPEAK to receive a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Don't forget the code SPEAK for your free shot at $1 million only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Time now for a big story. Let's move to Miami, where the Dolphins made some big moves this weekend, trading offensive lineman Laremy Tunsil and wide receiver Kenny Stills to the Texans for a boatload of picks. The move only increased suspicions that the team has already given up on the 2019 season, an idea head coach Brian Flores forcefully denied.
This game means a lot to me, so I wouldn't disrespect the game with that. So, and that's, again, no, we're not. We're going to try to win every game.
All right, Brian Flores says they're not tanking. I believe him. I think they're rebuilding.
Yeah, I mean, this whole tanking notion needs to just stop in terms of what that literally means from upstairs in terms of team construction. We're going to put our worst team out there. And in terms of game plan, we're actually going to try and lose. That has never happened. Despite being on a team or two that has had a record as looked at as tanking. I've been on a 4-12 team. I've been on a 5-11 team. You can say rebuilding, you can say tanking. I'm gonna tell you both, you're wrong. We tried damn hard every single week and got smoked every single week because I think there's this perception that you lose all your games at once. No, every single week you rinse and repeat and reset and try. I was on a 4-0 team that finished 5-11. You know, people were
saying, me too.
Oh, y'all tanking. Oh, y'all giving up. Y'all looking at the draft. No, we ain't. We getting smoked, man. It just happens. So right. You think a first-year black head coach thinks he has enough equity with anybody, forget his owner, just public perception and fan base, that I'm just going to mail one in. What happened to Steve Wilkes out there in Arizona? Huh. You can't mail a year in the NFL and expect things to be the same. So no way are they tanking. I truly believe them.
Yeah, I believe them as well. No, nobody goes into it and says, oh, we're just going to lose games so we can hopefully draft Tua from Alabama. Now, they don't have critical players at critical positions, and that's going to be a problem. So it's going to look like they're tanking.
Yeah.
Everybody in the NFL can play. There's not just terrible players. But at critical positions, if you don't have those players, it sure will come off as if we are tanking. Left tackle, gone. Kenny Stills, for whatever you want to say, he can play. He's gone. Quarterback, you got Fitzpatrick, who's not going to move. You got Josh Rosen, who doesn't want to run. Behind that offensive line, they're going to take a beating. And so if you're not going to the playoffs and you're not competing, you might as well tank or rebuild so you can draft the franchise quarterback. It's worth it.
It's a rebuild. It's not tanking. And it reminds me of a movie I once watched. I really enjoyed it. It was a guy by the name of Jack Black that was the actor in the movie. He was an inventor. He invented this spray because they were running out of places and just having the convenience of getting rid of the dog stuff, right? It was called Vaporize, right? You spray it, disappeared, gone. You don't know where it went.
Twitter off.
But it was gone, right? It's like the Twitter off, right? Flores is spraying his entire facility with Vaporize. He's got to spray. He's got to get rid of it. It's got to disappear. I don't care where it goes, but it's got to go out of here.
Yeah.
And that's what he's dealing with. You're talking about a 7-9 team last year. Your best receiver had 575 yards, Amendola. His better days were behind him. Your running back put up 722 yards. Commendable for a guy whose better days are behind him. Frank Gore, he's gone, right? So now you're looking at your most productive players, and now you got to come in. You got a quarterback competition, and Fitzpatrick wins it. And I'm saying to myself, his better days are probably behind him. You're in a strong division, a top-heavy strong division, and you got to believe to yourself, he's got to find a way to rebuild or maybe build the culture of what it's going to be as a team at Miami, because I don't think it's been successfully done in that organization for quite some time. That is a very lofty task for any coach to come in and redo and rebuild what's going on in Miami.
I actually think he has a long runway. And, you know, it's not ideal. You would love to be a first, Brian Flores, you'd love to be a first-year head coach and have your quarterback established or walk into some situation where you're able to draft a quarterback. But other than that, I think he's got a great long runway and some patience. I think ownership there and the general manager and the head coach, they're all on the same page in terms of like, hey, man, this culture here stinks. And
we're
going to start all over from scratch. And we're going to get a bunch of guys that the only voice they really recognize and hear is Brian Flores' voice, not the previous head coaches. And if you got some kind of baggage with the team or whatever, we're dumping you and getting rid of you. I like it, and I think, to me, it's an indication that Stephen Ross is like, man, no, dude, you got 5 years, because they are going to get pounded this year.
I love your sentiment, but look, nobody's walking up to me saying you got 5 years and I'm believing them. Even if they're being sincere, I'm not believing that.
Hugh Jackson thought he had more than what he had in Cleveland.
Yeah, everybody does, because when you're 0-0, I can say anything. It's when we are 2-14.
Yeah, man.
What you saying is, so I respect that. But I retired 15 years ago from the NFL. This team has won one division since I retired. In 15 years, won 3 winning records. So when you talk about tanking, compared to what?
Right.
Like, if they go out there full fight, full effort, it is not
worth. So what they've been doing the last 15 years.
15 years of tanking, y'all. So that's why the narrative is lost on me. Compare me by my own standards. The man, the distance traveled for this team. They don't go that far, even when they're in full effort, for y'all to sit here and undermine them now.
There you go.
I'm going to go back, and TJ, you played in this organization. Sometimes you find the right ownership, and they'll give you the longest leash possible. Marvin Lewis, what was it, 16 straight years?
Yeah.
in Cincinnati, never won a playoff game. And to me, I'm a Marvin Lewis fan. I think he's a tremendous head coach. And what he did in Cincinnati, he deserved all 16 of those years. A lot of people disagree with me on that. But again, I think Brian Flores is potentially in a situation like that where this ownership group is going to be very patient with him. I think they believe. Just allowing this to go on, what they're doing right now, you have to give the guy a long runway. And I think the position Stephen Ross is in, politically or perception-wise, means that Brian Flores is going to get...
I don't know. The Tony Dungy situation in Tampa, there's some details that are obviously different, but you're not always promised to finish the deal. Like, you can come cleanse the culture.
Raheem.
Can get up... Look, Mark Jackson in Golden State, come clean it up. Come fix it. He was ahead of the curve in terms of these guys, Steph and Clay are next. And everybody laughed at him. He did all that work. Did he get to finish the deal? So
and that's
careful.
The thing about, and you're talking about competitive coaches. So if Flores is competitive, if he can show that that team can be competitive, that's the difference. Even though Marvin didn't get those wins in the playoffs or get those wins in later on in the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, he was competitive, and that's a blood.
He didn't win any in the playoffs.
And that's a blood. That's a blood.
Where your
division.
Donut at? Remember that donut? Marvin Lewis in the playoffs.
Hey, Marv, I tried.
I love Marvin Lewis. Have we missed anything?
Yeah, man, stay with the Dolphins. We all know Kenny Stills hasn't been afraid to speak his mind. He was openly against Jay-Z's deal with the NFL and spoke out against Dolphins owner Stephen Ross for his relationship with President Trump. Well, now that Kenny has been traded to the Texans, people are speculating that the reason behind it was because of his feud with Ross and Jay-Z. Even our guy Clarence Hill tweeted out, quote, man, you knew Kenny Stills was gone as soon as they played Jay-Z in practice. I want to ask you guys, do you think Stills' feud with Ross and Jay-Z actually played a role in him being traded?
I think at least 25% reason would have to be the field.
You said 125% or you said 25%? I didn't hear you clear.
Go ahead.
My earpiece is right here.
Go ahead.
Look, you lose all your human capital. And don't forget, no matter what your title is, you're still a human at the end of the day. You lose all your human capital when you make your greatest criticism in your worst year. I'm not even going to talk about the authority figure that Stephen Ross is in terms of being your owner and one who cuts your check. When you come out with your biggest, baddest, and you gave your worst performance in production, it's a wrap. So I knew he was smoked because I played for the Dallas Cowboys. When Antonio Bryant got into a fight with Bill Parsons.
There was jersey in his face.
There was jersey in his face.
I heard that in Cincinnati. I'm like, huh?
How about this? I saw that. He gave him a two-piece with a biscuit, Bill Parsons. And we were like, he gone. And he didn't get cut. But Bill Parsons, being who he is,
did it differently.
Till week six. And then you just hear the tumbleweeds, see the tumbleweeds, hear the whistling. Get up out of here. Mm. Out of thin air. Just, you got to go. But it was written it as soon as that moment occurred. So same thing here.
Jay-Z, I don't believe, had anything to do with it. You criticized your boss, who was Stephen Ross, publicly, your good is gone. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't do that. You can't criticize your boss publicly. Nobody can. And think you're going to survive it.
How about even more? You can't criticize me if I'm your boss. I'm just going to give you real. I'm vindictive. I'm waiting. I'm sitting there plotting. Like, I can't wait till you drop.
As soon as you do something wrong.
I'm revisiting Vaporize. You got to vaporize the stuff that's messing with your organization. And the bottom line is, you know, the fella had the C on his jersey. He had the captainship on his jersey, which was interesting. But it still represents a failing team. He was a part of a failing team, a failing outfit. I'm with you, Marcellus. Why are you going to sit there and start talking big deals about things outside of the game? You're going at people personally. You're going at people's agendas. And it had nothing to do with you or what the results of this team has been. So moving forward, if I feel that what you're doing is coming into my area as Flores or the ownership of the
football
the team,
focused.
Right, you got to go. Now, I got a new coach. We got a new opportunity. That's not tanking. That's rebuilding. That's restructuring. That's re-establishing what you're going to be.
Darnell, I hope you've learned a lesson here. Don't criticize me or Marcellus.
Yeah.
Privately or publicly.
Yeah. Especially Marcellus, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hold it against you.
Privately or publicly.
Be my last show. I ain't stupid.
LeVar Arrington's back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move to Oklahoma, where Jalen Hurts went off.
Off.
His debut as a Sooner, throwing for 3 touchdowns and running for another 3 in Oklahoma's big win over Houston last night. But his huge game wasn't the only memorable performance this weekend. Liberty head coach Hugh Freeze actually coached from a hospital bed in the coach's box in a loss to Syracuse while dealing with complications from back surgery. All right, Marcellus.
Yeah.
More memorable, Jalen Hurts balling out yesterday or Hugh Freeze coaching from the press box?
It's actually Hugh Freeze. Jalen Hurts, amazing. All the weight on his shoulders, transferring new philosophy, new scenery, and goes out there and just balls out. But it's really the clout-chasing Hugh Freeze that's just sticks me in the wrong place. It just totally undermines and derails the next man up mentality that we're taught in football. Mm. Look, how many times have I seen Carson Wentz go down? Guess what? Next man up, Nick Foles. They win a Super Bowl. Drew Bledsoe goes down. Next man up, Tom Brady. They win a Super Bowl. You can win a Super Bowl with a next man up mentality, but you can't win one game, coach? Where's your assistant head coach? You know why? Because you're clout chasing.
There you go, right?
Because y'all playing Syracuse and you want to get your shine on. Did they even score at LeVar? Where's the donut again?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Another donut.
Yeah,
and you,
right there.
You're going to mail in
right
a
there.
Loss like this, coach, because when you're present, more variables are at play than just your physical presence.
Sure.
It's your tone, your emotion, the fact that you trust in this system, you trust in the next man up. So I know this was like a feel-good story. He'll heal. But you know what? When he get out the hospital, somebody need to check him. Stop clout chasing, coach, and pass the buck.
Why, you just shed a little light on a different perspective on that for me. But for me, it was Jalen Hurts.
what he was able to do. You mentioned it, new scenery. Everyone's talking about Justin Fields and Ohio State and all these other quarterbacks outside of even Tua in Alabama. What he was able to come out and do was just flat out impressive.
Yeah.
Not running the football, which is what we've known him to be, a running quarterback, but he came out throwing the football accurately, looking down the field to make guys make plays in the passing game. I was thoroughly impressed, more even with his post-game conference, how almost stoic he was, where he was being asked, what about your performance? You know what? We got to be better. I got to be better. Mm-hmm. He understands. He brings a level of leadership to this Oklahoma team that is going to be impressive to watch all
year.
Yeah,
I'm with you, G. And listen, here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, football has always been referred to me as a child's game, that if you're good enough to play it really well, you get a king's ransom at the end of the day. If you're not in good enough health and good enough shape to perform your duties, get better. Get healthy. And you hate to say it, but sometimes you got to say it's just the game, and your health brings it into that category. It's just the game. I'm going to go with Marcellus on the next man up type of scenario, and that's why I think Jalen Hurts is such an amazing, memorable story. It will certainly be more memorable than the dude holding his Diet Coca-Cola in his hand looking at the game, because that's probably really all he was doing was looking at the game. The reason being is it was the next man up at Alabama when Hurts was there. Jalen was not a bad player ever I can recall.
Right.
He wasn't a bad player at Alabama. Mm-hmm. He just got beat out by somebody they felt was better. And he felt like it was his time to move on and go do something different. Next man up, all right? Kyler leaves. Here comes Jalen. You step into the Oklahoma system, and you have a ton of success playing the game. And it was a major, major comeback and win story, even though he was never an underdog to begin with. He just had to take his services where it was going to be better appreciated and best served, and that's what he did and came out gunning. Good for him.
I think what Jalen Hurts did was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I said last year, I said, I hope this kid runs for president one day after what he did, filling in for Tua at the end. However, having said all that, Hugh Freeze, for Jalen Hurts, for this to be the most memorable, it's going to have to play out over the course of the season that Jalen Hurts continues to play at a high level. And if he's in the Heisman Trophy 3 finalist or whatever, then yes, I'll remember this debut. But I agree with Marcellus. To me, this says so much about these coaches, and we sit here and we love to talk about player egos, player divas, player this, player that. That's the biggest ego explosion I've ever seen from anybody involved in athletics. I'm so valuable that I'm going to sit up here in this press box, be a distraction, take attention away from the kids while I sit here in a hospital bed in front of the press box. Are you kidding me? Like, this is the best vantage point for the game. This is all about... He gave a pregame speech to his kids over video conference and all that. And to me... It's just an ego explosion. And it says to me everything about these coaches. And you guys have obviously played. You know how big the egos are in the coaches' locker room and the coaches' offices. Man. And now we're looking at it. And I didn't really like, and I'm not criticizing the network or whatever, but I just didn't like interviewing him during the game, in the press box, all that, taking attention away from the kids. The games are played for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is a grown man that's taking a step down to liberty or whatever. Man, get your ego up out of this. Dino, you're trying to be classy or whatever, give him a shout out, but I'd have gave him the finger rather than a thumbs up.
Man, and I love to pile on. I know a lot of people hate to pile on. I love it. You know why? Because when you're wrong, you're wrong. You need to hear it so you can correct yourself. Livelihoods are at stake, not just scholarships, but guys who are really trying to get to the next level. Every game matters. And this is just so much clout chasing because they're playing the first-ranked school ever at Liberty. They're playing the first Power 5 school ever at Liberty. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't miss that opportunity even if I can't coach. You know why CEOs fly across the country just to shake a hand and make a deal?
Tell us why.
Because they know you just can't email some things. Mm. You can't just text in some things. You just can't call this
one in. It can get lost in translation.
It can get lost in translation and effectiveness of communication. Indeed. So I got to look you eye to eye to get this point across. Mm. And my coach is up there doing interviews, smiling. A video. While we getting tapped, we getting smoked, and he up there smiling, talking about I'll be back. You can stay up there, coach, if it's really like that.
Yeah, the reason why I didn't like that, and you guys are alluding to it, because if this were a player...
Bam. Dead.
If this were a
dead.
Player...
Rampart.
No, I'm going to just tell you what it is. We see it all the time from players. They'll be in a mink coat.
Oh, my God.
Dressed to the nines on the sidelines. But this is 10 times worse.
This is 10 times worse. This is the head of your football team. Mm-hmm. Like, program, you can't do this.
No.
You're coming into it wounded. Think about that.
That's the message
you're
to your kids.
You're coming into the game wounded. Like, you ain't never saw no warrior movie where the wounded warrior that's leading the rest of the army is laying in a hospital bed. Wait, I always only remember the Titans, but you know.
Before we go, come on, man.
That was a player.
I like to celebrate the college football transfer portal. I'll admit the transfer craze initially annoyed me, especially this past offseason when my Ball State Cardinals lost their starting quarterback and running back to Power 5 schools. But this weekend, I jumped on board. Jalen Hurts sitting behind Tua at Alabama would be an absolute crime. Mm. And so would Jacob Eason and Justin Fields sitting behind Jake Fromm at Georgia. Hurts wasn't the only transfer quarterback to light it up this weekend. The two guys who bolted Georgia had terrific debuts. Eason started for the University of Washington. He completed 27 of 36 passes for 349 yards and 4 touchdowns against Colin Cowherd's Eastern Washington squad. Fields won the starting job at The Ohio State University. He opened his OSU career by completing 18 of 25 passes for 234 yards and 4 TDs against Florida Atlantic. He rushed for 61 yards and another score. Who knows what's going to happen the rest of the year? Hurts, Eason, and Fields will all face much different competition as they climb into the rest of this season. But college football is better, more enjoyable, with them on the field leading teams. The transfer portal and transfer craze are major headaches for college coaches. Keeps a coach in a constant state of recruiting, recruiting to retain the players already on your roster, and looking around the country for opportunities to pluck someone else's frustrated but talented backup. As a fan and former college football player, I don't care about those headaches. Players as talented as Hurts, Eason, and Fields have every right to chase their NFL dreams from the starting lineup. The old standards of loyalty no longer apply because professional football now offers the possibility of generational wealth. Transferring is risky, but it's also smart business. Yeah, not all the high-profile quarterback transfers worked out. Tate Martell left Ohio State, and he's now a receiver at Miami. Hunter Johnson bolted Clemson and is splitting time at Northwestern. My Ball State transfers? Georgia gave Vanderbilt quarterback Riley Neal a rude welcome to the SEC. But Kansas State running back James Gilbert? Ran for 115 yards and a TD this weekend. All right, more Speak for Yourself after this. LeVar Arrington's back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move on to one of my favorite events, Taco Tuesday.
Taco!
Yes, sir.
Tuesday.
Which might actually end up in LeBron James' control, with the Lakers star reportedly applying to trademark the phrase for use on social media, as well as a show with that name. We know from LeBron's IG that he loves his Taco Tuesdays. If you haven't heard him yet, check this out.
Y'all know what today is. Today is Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
You know what today is. Taco Tuesday.
Now, guys, we know people have been using this phrase since before LeBron was even born. So is this a bad look for him to try and trademark it?
You know what today is. Make money Monday.
I agree. Like, that's why it's a great look.
Right.
Like, get your money.
They not giving him this trademark.
Now, that's a different conversation. But is it a bad look to attempt it? No, it's not.
How you gonna own Taco Tuesday?
It's a bad look for whoever starts saying it.
I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna tell you how. There was a time when Pat Riley and the Los Angeles Lakers won their 3 championships, and then Pat Riley was sitting there saying, three-peat, and people, how you gonna own three-peat? three. And he did.
Because that wasn't popular.
I don't give a damn how popular it is. It's about monetization. It's about getting value. One thing about people, especially our people, is we love to create something and then get mad when someone monetizes it.
And takes it
and gets tremendous value. So why not materialize something that is already out there, but since you're a brand yourself, you can try
and capitalize on it.
Uh-oh.
The internet would melt if somebody white tried to take something black and get a trademark on it and say, it's now I own this.
Right.
Taco Tuesday and all this. That ain't us.
That ain't the trademark.
Anybody would know.
We're not spelling that part. What?
If somebody white would, I'm having Soul Food Saturday. Soul Food Saturday.
Stop.
If somebody white would, the internet would shut down and melt.
That is true, though, Marcellus. You got
Soul Food Saturday, sponsored by.
We in deep waters, even though it feels like. When they feel that this is some appropriation, I will respect that fully. I have not heard that
If you think everybody Latino is good with...
No, don't do that to LeBron. The theatrics is not what he's trying to get... That's messed up. The theatrics is not what he's trying to get trademarked and copywritten. He's trying to say Taco Tuesday, which is...
Who came up with tacos? Us or them?
Them. But you know what? I have heard. I don't know. I don't even want to go on record saying this, but I heard that we made up burritos, and they was like, we don't do burritos down here. I heard that living in L.A. for a long time. I don't know. But if they got a problem with it, I'm out. But the process of trademarking that, I think that will come out in discovery. We'll see.
It's a great business move if he can get it. But the rest of it, I'm going to just leave that to
I
think you did very well with your presentation of it. I thought your rebuttal was quite impressive.
Oh, you're going to walk the fence.
He's trying to stay clean.
I'm walking the fence.
He's scared of the ball.
Hey, listen, I'll give you a great example. I work with a lot of young men, all right? I came up with a term. You're a prospect only. No, prospects only. If you ain't really about what you're trying to be about, don't come my way. Come to find out, prospects only was available. Can you imagine that? Mm. I own the rights to prospects only. So I can use prospects only on the internet. I can use it on apparel. I own the rights to that.
Are you just promoting your business?
No.
Hey, you're trying to get value.
The point is, if you have the ability to build your portfolio, especially on something that's already...
on the backs of somebody else's...
I mean,
that's
America.
Look, if Tom Brady has Soul Food Saturday, would there be a problem?
It's America. If people are willing to invest in that and go to it, I would want to see what Soul Food Saturdays with Tom Brady would look like.
If Tom Brady has Soul Food Saturday...
What does that look like?
And was on Twitter.
Twitter be tripping. Hold on, now we're using Twitters are measurable. And you the one that always says, why y'all listening to Twitter?
If Tom Brady did it and it was done in the way that he consumes food, it's done in a different way. What, Martha Stewart does it, right? There's other people. Paula Deen does it.
And so Tom.
We heard Cat Williams. Get your pork chops.
Get
them cats their pork chops.
It
is what it is.
So Tom Brady with a big pot of greens and
organic, but it would have to be organic greens.
So good. Him and Giselle on the internet. Oh, this is so good, it baby girl.
You don't,
Big Mama, what you doing in
there?
We want
a cornbread.
I mean, come on now. This is a bad look.
Oh, speak for yourself. We both can be right. It's smart to monetize something if there is a resistance to it. I think the closest example we really have is the name of the Washington Redskins, where that has been living for a while. And all of a sudden, so there's pushback to the point where now you need to revisit that.
Yeah.
If this, I haven't heard pushback yet. And I do follow people that are Latino who also retweeted. Oh, when I see the collective pushback, I'm with you, Whitlock.
Okay, but
I'm with you.
Honestly, my point as it relates to that is more comedic than real.
Yeah.
And so pushback with a taco, he can do it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But the only thing what I really don't like, what bothers me about this, it's just like, this is what I say about social media. It's all fake. It's not authentic. Mm. This is a business move, not LeBron having fun and just sharing a fun moment with people. It's a business move.
So authenticity undermines getting paid? Like, you can't be real and get paid?
Well, again, yeah. I just think people point to it as, oh, look at how fun LeBron is. No. He's thinking of a way to monetize.
That's messed
everything.
Up. That's an unintended consequence.
Brand building. It's brand
Hold
building.
On, Mr.
But what's wrong with
what's
that?
What's wrong with that? You, every time I hear you, necks, T-shirts. What happened if somebody finally say, I got some money for this necks and T-shirts? What are you going to say? No, I'm being authentic, y'all. I'm keeping it real. I don't want the money. Or are you going to say, oh,
you gonna
I'm
owning
something here.
You're going to be hurt if you, see
I'm wearing a shirt. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take the money.
Damn right. Damn right. Damn right.
My advice to LeBron would be start Soul Food Saturday, something that is ours.
It's already been done.
I got Blaze Pizza. What is that, bad for Italians?
Soul Food Tacos.
T.J. Houspenzada and LeVar Arrington are back. Let's move to Dallas, where reportedly the Cowboys held more negotiations with Ezekiel Elliott over the weekend, which continued today. Meanwhile, the Chargers have taken a different approach with their star holdout, suspending contract talks with Melvin Gordon until the end of the season, saying Gordon can play under his current contract if he ever decides to show up. All right, the Cowboys have taken a softball approach. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers have taken a hardball approach with their running back. Whose strategy do you like better, Cowboys or Chargers?
Look, I'm going to ride the fence like my man LeVar. I'm going to rip my pants on this one, y'all. Okay, they're saying two different things. This is why I'm going to ride the fence. What the Cowboys are showing is how much they really value Zeke and how great a player they think he is. What the Chargers are saying about Melvin Gordon is as good as you think you are, we don't think the same. So there are three emotions at play right here with the Chargers situation that if I'm Melvin Gordon at home, please listen up, my brother. This is not good. When they can postpone even the interaction of dealing with you, they think you are crumb. Mm. They don't think highly of you, certainly not to the tune you think of yourself. So a lot of people got this twisted. When you talk about someone in a relationship, and what we always say, it's a thin line between love and hate. Mm-hmm. And we act like hate is the worst emotion. Oh, no, it ain't. Love is obviously the best. Hate is second. You know what's the worst?
What's the worst?
Apathy.
Ooh. Indifference. Yeah.
When nobody responds to you, when they sit there and say, you've been there before? Hey, me and my girl, we have an issue.
You gotta care to hate them.
Boy, you gotta care to hate them. Mm. We going at it. And you fire off, y'all been texting back and forth for 12 days. I hate you too, I love you too, I hate you too. Then you fire off one and you get silence.
Nothing. Ooh.
Boom. You lost. It's over. She gone. You know what I'm saying? Melvin Gordon, when they say, we'll howl at you whenever, or unless it's on our terms, that's the worst situation. So, tough one.
I personally like the way the Cowboys are going about it. The Chargers have shown they don't need Melvin Gordon from where they just tried to sign LeSean McCoy. Mm. They just tried to sign LeSean McCoy before he went to the Chiefs. Mm. So they let you know, oh, we believe in Austin Ekeler and Justin. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You just don't think Melvin Gordon is as good as what he wants. Right. The way the Ezekiel Elliott is going to walk back into that locker room, and you don't want him to walk back in getting his money and feeling pissed off about the way you treated him. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what happens, Melvin Gordon will be back in that locker room and he'll be bitter. You'll never get his all because he'll be bitter about how things went. The GM, is it Telesco?
Yeah, Tom Telesco.
Don't cross paths with him because how you doing? But it's going to be very bitter. He's going to look at all the coaches like, oh, y'all ain't got my back. And so that's going to be a problem. Mm. Get in there. You're not getting a new deal. Don't lose money trying to get money and go.
Yeah.
And go after the season.
I think it's interesting what the Chargers are doing because they're also giving him the opportunity to seek a trade. And I like the Chargers' approach. If we're asking it, the question is, whose approach do you like better? I like San Diego's approach better because they're basically saying, look, this is what we're offering you. This is what we can give you. You have 1 year left on your contract. If you feel like there's something out
right
there
now,
better for you.
Right now.
If you feel like the value that you hold for yourself is truly of that, then go get it
2 weeks before
else.
The season, go get a trade.
But that's
a great
strategy. Come on, man. It's great strategy. That's great strategy because there's not enough time. We talked about that earlier. Mm. There's not enough time for him to go find that value that he's seeking for himself. So I like that strategy from the business standpoint of it. Look, if you believe right now you're willing to sit to get the value that you want to get, then you can seek it with another team. If you get something better, then maybe we can talk about it and maybe we'll match that. But if you don't, until we get to that,
we're sitting here, we're waiting on you, open arms, if you want to come back and play under this contract. With the Dallas Cowboys situation, you're holding a situation where I think this is a standoff that I think that has the potential to become more bitter based off of all of the personal comments and statements that have come from Zeke and from Jerry. I think that where they're at currently right now, the way that those negotiations are going, it's setting up for a bad breakup.
And you get
breakup.
Your money, you forget all that.
You do.
You forget all of that if you get what yep. you want or if you get close
player,
to it.
If you're the player, but I think if you're the franchise, you forget all that if he performs and the team
True.
Performs.
Well, I think that there will be no bad blood in Dallas because I think a lot of this performance publicly between Zeke and Jerry Jones has been about Dak Prescott. And so I felt like this is how this dance was always going to end. Jerry loves Zeke. Zeke loves the Cowboys. The Cowboys can't function without Zeke. And so that was going to have a happy ending. I'm going to agree with Marcellus, though. I think both clubs are doing the right thing and what makes sense for their situation.
Right.
The Chargers have no choice but to play hardball with this kid because I'm not sure who the agent is. I should have looked that up. But he's gotten some bad advice. At one point, weren't the Chargers talking about paying this dude $10 million?
Yeah.
No, it's a tick under $10
million.
Yeah. A tick under.
Yeah.
Again, for Melvin Gordon, that's solid. He's not Zeke. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Todd Gurley. And so they have a quarterback in the L.A. with the Chargers that they can rely on. Phillip Rivers has been carrying that franchise for 17 years. They're going to function without Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
So the Chargers have no choice but to go extra hardball with this dude, try to sign LeSean McCoy, tell this dude we're not negotiating because he's making a silly, unwise decision. He's playing this to the bus, and they're going to let him bust out, and he'll be begging them.
He needs to just show up. Don't lose his money like that. That's the thing that these guys got. You can't lose money trying to get money. Just show up.
Let me push back on this narrative, what's going out there in terms of you don't have enough time. We just gave you an opportunity to go seek a trade with 2 weeks to go. Let's stop lying to ourselves, people. Our agents work, whether it's a public declaration or not. Trust me, I had a deal signed as a free agent before the free agency deadline because my agent was working
Everybody
at the combine.
Everybody did.
Everybody. So I'm not special. I'm just
I met you. With the team that I signed with at the combine.
Lord, and we can go all day on this. So let's not act like when you make a public declaration that you can seek a trade that you ain't already been trying to seek a trade. Mm-hmm. What happened was the public declaration is to tell everybody we've worked to wit's end. We tried. And now, you know what? We're going to respect this player's wishes and see if he can do anything. Because back door, they already know.
Can't. Right.
They already know you ain't going to get anything out of this.
That's the point.
Here comes the hardball.
That's
so,
the point.
Look, here's the issue I really have with this. I saw Melvin Gordon 2 days before he held out, and he told me he was about to hold out. And
he also told you somebody told him he's going to end up being the highest paid running back.
You remember this conversation?
I do recall that quote from you.
And I was too caught up in the moment to really feel the gravity.
And that was me telling you.
I should have told him.
You sure should have.
I didn't know this part. Melvin Gordon is represented by Revolution Sports, and he has more than one agent. Ha! Every time I
talk. Who's the name?
Well, look, you got Demarius Billow, Fletcher.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Fletcher Smith. Here's the problem.
Fletcher Smith used to be a big agent when I was playing.
Here's the problem. I don't know if this is exactly his situation. Well, you got two agents? Do you have an agent?
No. And to me, the brand, Revolution. No, seriously, Revolution. We playing it to the bust. We're doing a revolution here with Melvin Gordon. And this reminds me, Le'Veon Bell got caught up last year with the wrong agent that had him sit out the entire year and Le'Veon Bell's agent turned it into this racial thing with them and the Steelers. And this dude missed his money last year. The NFL is America, man. It's the most, baseball used to be the thing that I did that defined America. If you're in the NFL, you're not throwing a revolution. You're baked into the foundation of America. That's what the NFL represents. these agents and these athletes. Don't get caught up in, oh, we're going to overthrow the NFL. We're going to make it bend our will. No, you're not. And this kid is paying the price for that. This is 2 years in a row. If Melvin Gordon misses this year, same thing happened to Le'Veon Bell last year. Bad representation, wrong mindset. Greg Jennings and LeVar Arrington are back. Let's move to Kansas City, where Andy Reid is reuniting with one of the stars from his Eagles days, signing LeSean McCoy to a one-year deal after McCoy was cut by the Bills over the weekend. But the reunion might not be a happy one. Last year, McCoy was accused of orchestrating an assault against his ex-girlfriend, making him the latest Chiefs players with a checkered past alongside Tyreek Hill and Frank Clark, who Reid traded for this offseason. Also, remember, the Chiefs had to cut loose of Kareem Hunt. I think this looks a little desperate here, given all that's transpired with the Chiefs players off the field over the past year and a half. I think Shady has some tread left on the tires as a player, but I wish the Chiefs hadn't made this move.
I actually am excited about the move. I think it was a smart move, as they call in the business, a toothpaste transaction. You're going to check the tube, see what's left in there, how much Shady is really left in there in terms of performance. And I look at it, a one-year, $3 million deal with a potential being four. It's all upside. The Dwight Howard situation right now, or Boogie Cousins to Golden State, except this is even better because he's been with Andy Reid before. He knows somewhat the skeleton of this system. And now he's going to have the NFL MVP at quarterback and Andy Reid, who you're familiar with. Sometimes that changes scenery, and just the fact that you're on your last leg in terms of your opportunities really galvanizes your greatness in you. And I still think that there's some signs of greatness still in Shady.
Yeah, I don't mind this move at all. I think it's a smart move. You know the player. You know what his makeup is. You drafted the player when you were in Philly. And so you couple him now with the young Patrick Mahomes. Mm. You put him in the backfield with the Damian Williams, two totally different style running backs. I like him coming out of the backfield, being able to be a threat in the passing game for Patrick Mahomes when he doesn't have those receivers running wide open as we saw last year. Again, he understands what Andy Reid is trying to do. He's been there before, and he, as you mentioned, he has tread.
Hold on, LeVar. Before I want to throw this back at both of y'all, I think safeties on their heels because of Patrick Mahomes.
Oh,
LeSean McCoy is going to be effective. I believe that.
Yeah.
Just from a perception standpoint for this organization, though, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Frank Clark, Shady has some off-field problems. No concerns there, just from a perception point.
Let me grab that.
Go ahead.
I just wrote this down. Polarizing headlines do not always represent the truth. Now, you let that sink in and you think about what Andy Reid is doing, and you mentioned the Kareem Hunt, you're mentioning what took place with Shady McCoy. Those headlines, if they represented the truth in terms of what the disciplinary acts that were to follow were going to be, we would not have seen Shady McCoy play any football last year. Like, it would not have taken place. He would not have been on a team. I look at Andy Reid and his approach to how he has always been a player-friendly coach. Now, what does that mean? It's the relationship of Andy Reid having very real conversations face-to-face with the guys that he coaches, and understanding if it makes sense to him what his player is saying to him, he does not care what the outside world believes. As long as he understands the truth, understands where that guy is coming from, Andy Reid has always been a coach that has been willing to put his own self-reputation on and preservation on the line for these players. And I think that's why he always gets the positive results that he's looking for from his guys. So I don't think that it's a bad move by Andy Reid, because that's in his DNA and people realize that. And I think it's a low enough deal, it's a small enough, as Marcella said, it's a toothpaste tube deal where if it doesn't work out, it doesn't really hurt you very bad and you move on from it. It does have more upside, and I don't think the optics of it is really too bad based upon Andy Reid's track record.
Yes, interesting. Obviously, we all know about what's happening in Andy Reid's personal life and the death of his son, Garrett. When that is brought into the equation, you can understand a guy who is going to take the quote-unquote risk for second chances, whatever it may be. LeSean McCoy's situation is very difficult to read in terms of accusation versus what's really of guilt. That's a tough one. I mean, from our surface level, a lot of people have pushed back on this situation in part because of the character of the accuser, whatever that may be. So are we going to now condemn the guy for something that may not be true in its totality? So then it becomes just what we are supposed to look at a lot of these players by is the production lens. If you can't discount him or exclude him because of off the field, then you got to look on the field. Is there enough for LeSean McCoy to be on your roster if you want to push the other stuff to the side because it's not conclusive for $3 million? Hell yes. It's just that simple.
Only thing I'll add to that, and I agree, I want to add this about Andy Reid. I don't think enough is talked about. The guy has religious convictions, and he has the courage of those convictions. Having said that, and I respect that and support it, having said that, being in the Midwest throughout the 90s, 2000s, I saw Tom Osborne in Nebraska. He had the courage of his religious convictions to live it out, and then it all blew up in his face with Lawrence Phillips, and it was kind of downhill from there. So there is some risk there, and I just think I saw Marty Schottenheimer go down a path at the end of his time chasing a Super Bowl in Kansas City, and he brought in a lot of guys with questionable pasts, and it blew up in his face. So it's a tough deal. Uncle Jimmy's here. Help us talk about Jadeveon Clowney.
You know.
Yep.
Marcellus said some incredibly stupid things today.
Oh, dang.
Big dummy of the day is very easy. Nah, go ahead.
Not nearly as dumb as my nephew.
What do you do?
Marcellus.
What do you say?
Is it Soul Food Saturday or Soul Food Sunday?
Oh, you caught that too?
Well, which one is it, Marcellus?
Well, for Big Whitlock, both.
It's both.
All weekend.
Soul Food Friday.
Yes.
Soul Food Saturday.
Siesta.
Lord Sunday.
Oh, don't do it.
Soul Food September is what it is right now. All right, let's talk some Jadeveon Clowney.
Big dog.
Who was traded to the Seahawks this weekend. Clowney was one of the most hyped players ever coming out of college.
Got him.
All right, Marcellus, do you think he's ever going to live up to the hype? Will he do it in Seattle?
I think he will. One, he's fully motivated to do it. It's a contract year. You're with Pete Carroll, who knows how to get the most out of you. And more importantly, this guy, in terms of sacks and tackle for losses last 3 years, is leading the league. So when you talk about what he's putting out there, in this situation, I think it's going to maximize versus what was in Houston.
Uncle Jimmy?
Nope.
Nope.
I don't think he's going to do it. I love the boy's name. Just hate the boy's game. Hey, boy, the boy got a good name. Right. Giovanni Clowney.
That is not his name.
Jadeveon.
Yeah, Jadeveon.
Jadeveon Clowney.
I know the boy's people. The boy from down there in South Carolina, South Packy Lackey.
Yep.
He good people. His family, they good people. They can tell you where all the good Popeyes is.
Don't do that.
just what they call good
people. I used to work in Rock Hill, South Carolina, so I know the area quite well.
Right. Look here, man, y'all asking whether or not how he gonna play in Seattle, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what his nickname is, right? His nickname is Doo-Doo.
Is that real?
So you know when he get there what he gonna play like. He gonna play like Doo-Doo.
Doo-Doo for real?
It is Doo-Doo.
I gotta Google that.
Okay, put it like this. Nephew, you said he got a soft motor.
Yeah.
Okay, one of my daddies told me, said, well, if he got a heart, he said he got a big heart, but he need a spark to make it start. You understand? In other words, he a big dog, but all he got is bark and no bite. He don't come out late at night. See, I went through this same thing with my fifth wife, Latrice.
Latrice.
Yeah. She called herself the Big Mama.
Yeah.
She too was from down there in Big Gamecock Country. And I'm not gonna lie, I thought as well as everybody else, she could have been the new Big Mama. She fit all the expectations. She had the size, the build. She's 5'8", 270.
The size.
Look at this. What I tell you, she could squeeze Crisco out of one, maple syrup out the other. She was heavily scouted by everybody. Hey, Uncle Jimmy moved up in the draft to get her. You heard me? Hey, bro, but the moment my mama walked in the house on Thanksgiving morning, She walked in the dough and smelt them chitlins and said, oh, hell nah.
Big Snoop Dogg.
Somebody can't clean chitlins.
Oh, that's a violation.
That is a violation.
Felony, boy. Too.
Mama went to the crock pot, looked at the greens, saw the little grit in the greens, looked in the trash, saw the Hellman's mayonnaise, and realized she used real mayonnaise for potato salad instead of Miracle Whip.
Oh, nah.
Man, I knew I wasted a draft pick. Bottom line, she just didn't live up to the hype, bro. You know, when you mess up chitlins and greens and potato salad on a Thanksgiving, your mama ain't gonna let you live it down.
It's curtains.
Yeah,
it's
no curtains. Recovery. Nope.
I tend to agree with Uncle Jimmy. I don't think he's gonna live up to the hype. I think, again, I said in the A block, I think they're gonna be shocked at some of the other issues impacting Jadeveon Clowney. Mm. I don't know what they are, but just when you get rid of someone that talented, there are hidden issues.
Didn't they reset the hype? I mean, who's thinking that he's going to come out like he did in South Carolina anymore? You're thinking he's going to be a lesser version of that, but still great and have an impact as his
number one. You signed Jadeveon Clowney, the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
You expecting big things.
I hear you.
Let me get to my approval rating.
I wish y'all say the boy's name right.
What? Doodoo?
Giovanni. Yeah, Doodoo. That's Doodoo. What we call him.
That is not his nickname.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
18
no.
job performance.
Daddy call him Doodoo. I call him Doodoo.
I give him a 9 all-time greatness.
9?
16 character, 20 authenticity, 63 overall. Solid role player.
Oh, man, stop that. 3-time Pro Bowler, solid role player. Okay, a little higher than that. He's an all-star, obviously. Job performance, got to give him an 18. I just ran off his stats. 16 all-time greatness because number one overall pick.
So was Jamarcus Russell.
Don't do that right
Damn.
Now. Don't say that right now.
See, it's nice. All right, the internet agrees with you. They got him at an all-star, 38%.